Good afternoon, everyone. Well, I don't know if everyone is here yet or not. I think there was a little confusion about what time, but I was sure it was 2 o'clock, and my wife was pretty sure it was 2:30. So we came early. We had an enjoyable feast, Tabernacles. I'm sure most of you did as well. It was... It's nice to be up in Branson. It's nice. The weather was beautiful, except for a couple of rains. I guess were usually in the evening or after we got out of services and got into our cars, so it wasn't bad. But one thing I noticed is the feast went by pretty fast. Seems like services have gone by fast this morning too. You know, things go by fast. Anyway, the feast went by fast. It really pictures the temporary life that we have here on earth. And my wife's mother and father were able to join us for the feast this year. It's been a few years since we've had a place together. And she's getting rather ill and don't know how many years she'll be able to continue to attend the feast. I doubt if we will attend together again. So it was kind of a special year for that. Seems like it was just a little while ago when I first met her at a Spokesman's Club ladies' night, as a matter of fact. So she's always been a nice mother-in-law, nice to me anyway. So I can't tell any mother-in-law jokes this afternoon, unfortunately. Anyway, let me get it back up a little bit. Can you hear me okay now? All right. At any rate, it seemed to be kind of a theme. Maybe I don't know if it was the main theme of the feast, but a minor theme anyway, that life is short. And so that's what I wanted to talk about this afternoon in my sermonette, Life is Short. So if you'll turn to James, the book of James in the New Testament, right after Hebrews, James has some interesting observations about this. King David talked about how life was very short. James has that to say too. It seems like the older you get, the shorter you think life is, you know. One of those things. And as Lonnie was mentioning before services, once you hit 60, you know, life is pretty short after that. Most of your life is gone. So, anyway, James 4 and verse 14. Let's start with verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit, and so forth. Kind of business as usual. You're planning. And with a lot of self-assurance. In verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Our life's just like a vapor, isn't it? We were staying at a place up at Branson where there was a little valley. And in the mornings when we'd get up pretty early. There'd be a little mist in the valley. It's kind of pretty. But after a while, the sun would come up and it'd warm up. And it wasn't long before that mist was gone. That's kind of how our lives are, really, looking back at them. Now, when we're 6 or 7 years old and we have a dental appointment or something like that, you know, we think life may be pretty long. But when we get to be a little bit older, we look back at life and how quickly it's gone by and realize it's pretty short. Life is like a vapor. So, with that in mind, what does that mean that we should be doing? Turn back to Ecclesiastes, if you will. The last couple of chapters in Ecclesiastes. Solomon wrote this book, and he wrote it in his old age after a lot of experiences. And he had a lot of good advice to give, even though he did some things wrong in his life. Some things he had to learn the hard way, I guess. But in Ecclesiastes 11, in verse 9, and this addresses the youth. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 says, "Rejoice, O young man," or you could say, "O young woman," either one. "Rejoice in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart." So God wants young people to be happy. He wants them to, embrace life and just be enthusiastic about what they find to do, whether it's their education or music or sports or a job that they have. God wants people, young people, to be enthusiastic and to find happiness and to be happy and to enjoy life. But he has a warning at the end of this verse, or walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But he says, "But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment." And so we all will be judged at the end of our lives, won't we? Not necessarily in regards to what we say, although we should watch our tongue too, but especially what we do. If we consider Solomon's youth, he was a bright young man, and he had one good quality that God could work with. He was a humble young man, and he realized that being king of Israel, where his father David had years of experience, much of it he'd learned the hard way, Solomon didn't have much experience at all. And so he was kind of young and inexperienced to be leading the great nation of Israel at that time. He realized that, and so he asked God for help. And God heard his prayer, gave him a great deal of wisdom, more wisdom than any man has had up to that time or has had since. And so in his youth, Solomon was a very good example. And he even warned youth who would listen, who would read the book of Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, of some of the pitfalls that they were likely to run into in their lives. You know, one of the main things that I have observed in my 63 years is that if young people could avoid sex before marriage, which is one of the major downfalls that leads to an unhappy life, or lots of problems anyway, could avoid abuse of drugs and alcohol, and could have a goal in life and work hard to achieve that, if they could do those things, they would be much better off than the majority of youth in this country, at least. So there's a need to study God's word and to follow the advice, especially in the book of Proverbs, and especially for young people. And Solomon reminds us here that it's good for youth to be happy and to rejoice and to enjoy life, but to remember that God will notice the choices that we make and will call us into judgment for that, judge whether they're good or not. Well, what about all the rest of us and really humanity overall? Solomon lived a long life and ruled Israel for a long time. He learned many lessons the hard way, made many mistakes, although he was able to have a lot of wisdom and give good advice. Sometimes he didn't take that advice, and that's kind of the way we are. I think older people are good at giving advice, but some of the advice we give is based upon the hard knocks that we have experienced through our lives. So it's important that we take our own advice, or take the advice that God gives us. And so let's read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse 13. And Solomon reduces everything down to just a few words. You know, you think about life, and you can read lots of self-help books and lots of commentaries on the Bible. Talk to a lot of people, receive a lot of advice, and so forth and so on. But when it really boils down to it, this is what God expects of everyone. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, that's have a deep respect for God. Whenever you read the Bible, realize it's God-inspired. And so what we read in there, except for poor translations, is exact truth. It's God-inspired. So we should approach it in that direction. Fear God and keep His commandments. Keep His commandments. For this is man's all. If we can do that, we've done well. Reverence God and keep His commandments. For, in verse 14, God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. Now, it's too bad Solomon didn't take his own advice, because in his later years he made a lot of bad decisions, and the Bible talks about his many wives turning his heart away from true God, and so that's a shame. And that can happen to us, not to many wives, but our hearts can be turned away from the true God in our later life too. So it's an important idea for us to hang in there, to remain true to God. I remember at the feast, Mr. McCullough gave, I thought, a very moving sermon about not letting little things bother you and hanging on to the truth and remaining true to God. And that's what we need to be doing as well. Well, Mr. Armstrong used to talk a lot about what God is doing here below, and talked about God is creating righteous character in us and His people, and He is. God can do a lot of things by divine fiat. He can create trees, He can create suns, the universe, tremendous things. He can create spirit beings with great power and great abilities. But He can't create righteous character. He didn't create righteous character in the angels, and He didn't create righteous character in us. He needs our help. He needs our obedience and our will to do that. And so occasionally we need to think about the fact that time goes by very quickly. Indeed, time is very short. Time is short. Or our lives are short, I should say. Like a vapor. So let's make the most of what time we have left. Do what is right and obey God and encourage each other. And that's about the whole thing that we have to do.